Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
The response to last Saturday's program was nothing short of phenomenal. Thank you, people across the board. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 7th and 8th. Yeah, the interview with Republican gubernatorial candidate Jack Cittarelli regarding Murphy's cancellation of the bear hunt and being in lockstep with the animal rights activists. And people, what's going to happen? Not this year. Next year, no hunt, and it is going to get ugly. It is going to get dangerous, and the bears are moving south, and Murphy's ultimate plan, especially if he's reelected, is to ban deer hunting, and eventually, I would say, stocking quail and pheasant on the wildlife management areas for hunting. No, that's going to be cruel. He is in lockstep with the antis. He must go. Jack4NJ.com. And that interview was followed up by kick-ass Assemblyman Hal Wirth, Republican 24th District, who laid it out, just what's going on up there in North Jersey and also northern central Jersey, and the bears are moving south. And people sometimes are prisoners in their own homes. There are so many bears. Get involved, people. Deer hunting is next. Small game hunting is next. Fishing is on the docket. I guess, like I said, trapping is as a foregone conclusion. They're trying to end that as of yesterday. Hey, man, we have a really jammed show coming up. Hearing about all the fluke being caught everywhere? Yeah, fluke fishing's good. Now, a lot of shorts now, this time of the transition. A good amount of keepers being caught. What about catching fluke from the beach? Oh, man, that is a viable option. You don't have a boat or water too rough out there? Get out along the sands. Plenty of fluke to be caught. Grab that cup, grab that rub. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Ho! Our bobwhite quail on the comeback trail. Check it out. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It wasn't that long ago I wasn't able to sleep in my own bed. Technically, I still had a bed, but because of my wife's struggles with CPAP, I was the one having trouble sleeping. The noisy machine, her constant tossing and turning, I had to move out to the couch, out to the recliner, out to my son's bunk bed. That is, until she started using Inspire, a sleep apnea treatment that works inside her body with just the click of a remote. Now I'm back in bed with my wife and our 100-pound lab. Good boy.
Get back to sleeping in your own bed with Inspire, a sleep apnea treatment that works inside your body with just the click of a remote. That's right, a button. As you sleep, Inspire keeps you breathing normally and sleeping peacefully. No mask, no hose, just sleep. To learn more, visit inspiresleep.com. That's inspiresleep.com. Inspire. Sleep apnea innovation. Inspire is not for everyone. Talk to your doctor to see if it's right for you and review important safety information at inspiresleep.com.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Well, the fluke thing is going strong. That bite's hot, then it's not, then it's in, then it's out. Offshore on the wrecks. By offshore, I mean, you know, the artificial reef system. We have 7, 8, 9, 10 miles out, some a lot closer, little patches of cover. Bay action is still going on. Inlets are still going on. Nobody really talks about what's happening along the beaches. Nowhere to go, know how to do it. The surf bite when it comes to fluke can be outstanding, especially this time of year as the fish begin vacating the bays and inlets and spreading out front before they head offshore. Very special guest on the Rack and Fin Radio line right now is Bayside Dave Edelman. He's an LBI coordinator for American Angler Fishing Club, and he has a Facebook, Surf Fishing LBI with Bayside Dave, and a YouTube gig going on called Bayside Dave. Guy is an ace when it comes to fluke from the sands. Yeah, on terra firma, no need for a boat. Dave, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, man. How you doing?
Great, man. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm lock, cocked, and ready to rock. I want to learn something about catching these flatties from the beach. I'm seeing a couple of guys do it, you know, all the way up there and then south, all the way down through about Strathmere. So these guys and gals are catching some keeper flatties from, you know, from the sand. That's a good thing to see. Is that modus operandi now this time of year going through the September 9th closure rather?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, like you said before, you know, you have fluke that come in spawning earlier in the season, going into the bays and shooting in through the inlets. And, you know, even as they're coming in, as they come in offshore, they will start running up the beaches and seeing what they can sniff up and eat up off the surf as the waves are pounding. You know, a lot of fluke are eating whatever's churned up. Like I said, you know, sand eels, all little crabs and little bait fish that are being churned up, yep. And then they'll make their way into the bay. You know, earlier in the season, we had a great bite here off the beaches. Right as the season opened up, people were pulling 4, 5, 6 pound fluke right off the beach, which was a beautiful thing.
Whoa! How big?
Yeah. Up to 6 pounds. We even had a 7-plus pounder turned in at Fisherman's Headquarters early in the season.
Wow.
We had a good stack of them early in the season for sure.
Well, Dave, I see some of the fluke, the keepers, especially the bigger keepers, I'm talking 21, 22, 23 inches. I know right. that they eat the little crabs in the back bay, but these were caught off the beach. I'm talking the area up around Point Pleasant Beach, Manasquan. They had small blue claws in their stomachs. That was amazing to me. And calico crabs in their stomachs.
Calicos, small blue claws. You'll see plenty of sand fleas in their bellies. You know, also, you'll see other types of fish in them. I see a lot of sand eels. I even see American eel. I had one. It was 22 and a half inches. He was about four and a half pounds. I opened up his belly. He had a 6 or 7 inch American eel in his belly, a nice big skull on this creature with the eyes still intact. And I was surprised to see. I tell you, fluke are very aggressive feeders. In that early in the season, when guys were still throwing SP minnows and jigs like that, looking for stripers, we had fluke hitting those things early in the season.
Dave, the thing
very aggressive
is,
feeders.
The thing is, you know, when you're in a boat. Okay, you're going to the reefs, you know, your little patches of structure, even open bottom. It's easy. You're concentrating on that area. You walk out on a beach and you look, you know, you look south, you look north, you say, Mary, Mother of God, this is a lot of water to cover.
Yeah.
What are you looking for? Now, Dave, the heat's on. Although we do have that south wind sometimes. Yesterday, Friday, very hot south wind. Water gets a little colder. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for? Pinpoint some prime areas when you're in the surf looking for flounder.
Well, when you're off the beaches, no matter what kind of fish you're looking for, but especially flounder, summer flounder, fluke, they're stacked up in the troughs between the sandbars and the beach. And sometimes the deeper water, sometimes in the shallow water. Well, what they like to do is sit alongside those sandbars and wait for a wave to crash and push whatever bait, bait fish, whatever crabs, are on those sandbars and push them into those areas, and that the fluke are laying there on the bottom and that they'll jump up and grab that. You'll always want to target along the sandbars when you're fishing. And also, I find a lot of times the fluke are laying right in the surf, like right in the last break before you hit the beach, 10 feet away from you, they're laying in that surf because they like to see when a wave crashes on the beach and pulls those sand fleas or those calicles right off the beach. They'll be laying right there, right in front of your feet. You don't have to cast out to England to catch fish. They're right there sometimes.
I was just going to mention that. I saw that happen several times up there by Barnegat Light and then down there again in Ship Bottom area. They fish 10, 12 feet away. All of a sudden, a guy's rod bends. Whoa! And you got some keeper fluke right there.
Surf. Yep.
Dave, when you're...
And, go ahead.
No, go. You go. Go.
No, I was just going to say, sometimes what I'll do is at a lower tide, when you see where the sandbar will make its way all the way up to the beach where you can just stroll right off the beach and walk straight out. Now, as you're walking out, you have that trough of water to the side of you, to the left side of you or to the right side of you. And sometimes when the water's calm enough, instead of casting straight out, I'll walk out onto that shoal and cast perpendicular to the beach and work that whole column of water all the way down to me, where I'm only maybe 10, 20 feet off the beach, and I'm working that whole column right there to see if the fluke are laying there. And then if they're not, I'll just continue my walk out to where I can reach the sandbar and work that whole section casting parallel to the beach.
Dave,
that works out great a lot of times.
Instances of dirty water. You've seen a lot of sand, and so I know fish don't like to get sand in their gills, but I've seen you catch fish under conditions like that. any particular areas you're pinpointing as, man, this water's a little dirty, that you know the flounder are going to be hanging out?
Well, usually when you have water moving, when you have a bit of a riptide pulling, right. Mm-hmm. or at the mouth of or the opening of the sandbar, where it creates a deeper hole of water, you know, when the waves break over the sandbar and they hit the beach, they're not going to. The water has to go somewhere. It can't go back over the sandbar. It has to make its way over to that opening, mm-hmm. and that's what creates those rip currents. And a lot of times, when you have a little bit of a rough surf where it's churning up a lot of sand and a lot of bait fish and all that stuff, those fluke are hanging out by those spots where the water is starting to pick up speed and rushing its way out past the sandbar through the openings back out to the ocean. You'll find that a lot of different species of fish, especially the fluke, they like moving water.
Joining us on the Rack and Fin line this morning is Bayside Dave Edelman. He's the LBI coordinator, American Angler Fishing Club, which has a bunch of tournaments, I think, coming up in September and October. Dave also has his Facebook page, Surf Fishing LBI with Bayside Dave, and a great YouTube gig going on with just called Bayside Dave. Now, Dave, in this situation, big surf coming up. Big surf coming all the way up the beach. Will the fluke come way up close, or are you going to have to launch and work again and bump it, drop it, bump it out? And then, like you said, you've seen them caught, and I've seen them caught. Again, it was more of a lower tide situation. But when you get those big breakers, Dave, and high water on the beach, what's the dealio?
Yeah, I like to stay on the beach. I like to cast out to where the sandbar is with whatever rig I'm using, let it drop to the bottom, and then work my way in real, real slow. You don't want to do a fast retrieve, because sometimes with a faster retrieve, that'll get that up off the bottom too high. Now, you don't want to drag anything across on the bottom.
Right.
You always want to be just up off the bottom with your stuff. And I find in the heavier surf, they're in a little bit deeper water, so they're not getting pounded by all that, but mm-hmm. they're, you know, taking advantage of what's being, you know, churned up and swept around. So yeah, in the deeper waters, you want to work the entire column from the beach for sure.
Dave, we're up against a break. Before we go to that, I just want to ask you, I know because you do the island, you do a lot of places, jetties, they can be fluke magnets, can they not?
Absolutely. Yes, they can. And, you know, dealing with all the rocks, as long as you learn to know to deal with the rocks where you're not getting your rigs caught in the rocks. If you work the currents properly, you can be very successful catching fluke in the inlets for sure.
Well, Dave, I also notice again that the jetties along the beaches, when you can find them, mm-hmm. that I've had much more success. Me and the lovely Dee Marie working left and working the right, or vice versa, as opposed to going all the way out and then launching, you know, your bucktail and gulp or whatever you're using. They like to tuck in close to that stuff and that structure,
yeah,
man.
Course.
We caught them like right.
They're going to be on the, I guess what you call it, the leeward side of the rocks where the waves are breaking, you know, and pushing from the jetties over into a trough or wherever they may be laying. They don't like to be against the jetties where the water and the waves are pushing them into the jetties.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, of course, that's not going to be fun if they get smashed into the rocks. But then a lot of times, like I said, because of that action, you're going to have a lot of bait fish and whatever flushed off of the rocks and make a better target for the fluke to be laying on that side of the jetties.
Yeah, we're up against a hard break with Bayside Dave Edelman talking fluke from the beach, in the surf, in the suds. There's a lot of flatties there, and some bigger ones are happening. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Dave, you're here for another segment. Don't you move. Be right back. Right, Rack and Fin Radio.
All right.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
There's only one way to stroll the boardwalk, one step at a time. And there's only one way that Boardwalk Acura and Boardwalk Honda bring quality to our customers, one step at a time. The Boardwalk family does things differently than other car dealers. From the moment you step through our doors until the moment you step into your new Acura or Honda, they promise you a quality experience. Whether you're in the market for a sedan, coupe, or SUV, new or pre-owned, you'll find an impressive inventory of the latest models with the newest technology. You'll get the low prices you want on the high-quality vehicles you love at Boardwalk Acura and Boardwalk Honda. All makes and all models are all priced to move, which means more savings for you. Visit Boardwalk Honda or Boardwalk Acura today. One step at a time, one customer at a time. Come see the quality for yourself. Easy to get to in Egg Harbor Township on Tilton Road or online at BoardwalkHonda.com and BoardwalkAcura.com.
New hot and iced sunrise batch coffee from Dunkin'. A bright and balanced, full-bodied blend brewed so you can get summering from sunrise to sunset. And even after that, because that's when you can show off those string lights you hung in the backyard. Or rehung. Now exclusively for DD Perks members, enjoy a $2 medium sunrise batch hot or iced coffee. Join on the app today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yo, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 7th and 8th. Very special guest on the line, Bayside Dave Edelman. We're talking Fluke. On the beach, fluke from the beach, fluke in along the sands, viable fishery going on right now. As Bayside Dave said a little earlier in the last segment, they've been around there for a while, but the numbers are really keying up. I'm hearing more and more reports and seeing more and more fluke. Granted, a lot of shorts being caught from the beach by serious anglers and also by casual anglers. So, and don't forget, people, up in Island Beach State Park, the limit is 2 at 16 inches. And I'm hearing some great reports of limit catches. Tom P, only 2 fish. Yep. Hey, man, you're lying in the sand, just hanging out, getting a couple of keeper flounder. That's a good deal here. We have Dave on the line right now. I want to talk rigs. Rigs? Bait rigs? Jig rigs? What's the dealio? Dave, you are a proponent of, you know, getting it, working its stuff slow through the surf. What's your ideal setup?
My ideal setup is people know it as the chicken rig or the high-low rig. It'll have 2 hooks on it. It'll have a sinker on the bottom, and about a foot up, you'll have a dropper loop with a hook, and about a foot up from that, another dropper loop with a hook. And that's where you're going to put your baits. Most of the time, I like to use the gulp, either the swimming mullet, or I'll use the grub. Sometimes I'll put one of each on to see what the fluke are going to be hitting at. And if they start hitting just one or the other, then I'll just double up on whatever one they're hitting and, create more of, an attractant to them.
Well, Dave, give me a size. Give me a size here, because the grubs now are in 4, 5, and 6 inch. You're in a surf. You're using that big salami 6 inch grub, or more tameable and usable 5 and 4?
I use the 4s and 5s. Lately, for the past couple of years, I've actually upped my hook size because I am getting tired of gut hooking fish with the smaller hooks. Mm-hmm. You'll hear guys using 2.0 and 3.0 hooks, and they're constantly digging them out of their throats every time they catch a fish.
There's a dead
now, fluke. I've upped my hook size to 6 inch to the 6.0, and I use 5 inch. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said, whoa, you're using how big a hook?
Oh, wow, I thought you were saying, whoa. No, I thought you told me to stop. No, I use the 6.0 hooks, 5.0 hooks, 6.0 hooks, and I'll use a 4-inch or the 5-inch. I like to use the 5-inch grubs. They lay out real nice. When you use a hook, I like to up my hook size because I was getting tired of gut hooking fish with the 2.0s and the 3.0 hooks. And I up my hook size to the 5.0s and even the 6.0 hooks. I like to use the bait holder hooks because they have those little barbs on the shaft
right. That
help keep the gulp up onto the shaft and away from the throat and the tip of the hook to keep them nice and straight when you put them on the hooks up along them shafts like that. Mm-hmm. The larger, even with those larger hooks and those larger baits, I'm still catching 10, 12-inch fluke with them. But the hooks aren't going down their throats. They're right in the mouth.
Dave, question. You mentioned the grub, but you did mention the swimming mullet. different profiles, different kind of retrieve. You know, that mullet's a fatter, chunkier body in there as opposed to the slim, you know, grub. Are you giving it the same motion?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a very slow turn of the reel, just where you feel that you're in contact with, and you're moving it across the bottom. You're jiggling the rod to give them a little bit of action. But either one that you're using, you're doing the same action, nice and slow, and you're jigging it just to keep those things moving around. Now, a lot of times when you feel bites, you don't want to try to set that hook right away, because a fluke will grab the tail of one of those artificials before it gets the whole hook in its mouth. So you feel a little bit of a bump, stop retrieving, keep the tension on. Never release the tension of your line, even if you have to keep lifting the rod up a little bit, and let that fish grab that thing again. Pull a little pressure on there, feel if the fish is on. If you feel the fish is on there, now you set the hook. If you felt that, you pulled the pressure on and it pulled the jig out of the, right, out of the fish's mouth, stop retrieving, let it sit there, keep the tension on the line. That fish is going to turn around and grab at that again. If you keep retrieving, you're going to pull it right out of its sight. Always Dave, nice and slow, and let the fluke grab the bait.
Dave, you prefer the braid, correct?
Braided line on my reel for sure. It's a smoother, easier cast, and you can feel all little bites a lot better than you can with mono line on your reel for
right.
sure.
See, Dave, that's one of the problems I've had over the years, and spoke to a lot of people saying that weren't used to braid, getting into braid when used to mono. Braid, you have the tendency to, even waiting those few seconds, it's so sensitive. That fish isn't really all the way up that grubber mullet yet, and you're setting a hook and still missing fish. So now, are you tying your braid directly, or you have a fluoro or mono leader or anything?
Well, I always tie a tactical clip to the end of my main line, so okay, I can change out different rigs a lot quicker and easier. And I'll use a swivel on the top of my rigs, you know, to make it easier to change out.
Dave, the motion of the rig itself, how are you using this? You aggressive? You doing the crawl, just keeping it above the sand? What's the deal?
Yeah, just nice and slow and easy. You know, as long as you're in contact with that rig and you can feel the pressure of it, keeping the tension out of your line, that's fast enough. Nice and slow, nice and easy. Like I said, just keep jigging it. If you're using a bucktail, I don't like to use anything heavier than like a half ounce or a 3 ounce bucktail.
Right.
You don't want to be dragging that thing across the sand. A lot of times the fluke aren't going to jump at, you know, grab at something that's laying in the sand. They're going to see something up in the water column and they're going to jump up at it. Mm-hmm. So when you cast out a bucktail, let it sink to the bottom and start retrieving it nice and slow, just as slow as you were with another rig. But as you move it, because those bucktails are moving and you're in the current of the water, that's going to lift them off the sand. And that's going to create an attraction to the fish and make them strike that right away, easy.
Dave, your favorite colors of gulp?
I like all colors as long as it's white. Always start with white. Most bait fish have white bellies. darker, murkier water where it might not be as clear. I find, and studies have shown, that chartreuse is the color to go with if you have darker, cloudier water. Mm-hmm. Pink is another great color in any kind of water. That creates the look of shrimp. Shrimp have a more of a pink color to them, so they're gonna hit pink a lot. But always start out with your white. I've always found out the white has always worked best for me.
Dave, have you ever used bait? I mean, what'd you do before the gulp craze? The squid spearing, just squid, anything like
that? Yeah, squid strips are fantastic. I've put spearing on in the surf and use that as well. I use bluefish strips. I use mackerel strips.
Okay.
Sometimes just put them single or double them up on the hook just the way they are, or you can put them right off of your bucktail as well. The good thing about using those strip baits is that they create a scent, and that's what's good about the gulp as well. Gulp is soaked in that scented oil, right, and as you retrieve that lays a scent out. But for sure, the first thing I would go with would be squid strips because they're nice and white. Mm-hmm. Bluefish strips are nice, and even fluke belly. After you fillet your fluke, and you skin the bottom of that white side of the fluke, keep that white skin, strip that out. That stays on the hook real well, and I've caught a lot of fluke using fluke belly for sure.
And does it, David, has a nice fluttering motion. We're speaking with Dave Edelman, LBI coordinator, American Angler Fishing Club. His Facebook page is Surf Fishing LBI with Bayside Dave, and his YouTube gig is Bayside Dave. Well, Dave, now, tackle-wise, Even a 7 foot, 7.5, 8 foot rod, I mean, you want it nice and light. You don't want these big, heavy, basically surf rods, correct?
Yeah, the lighter the better. A nice fast action rod, which means it has a sensitive tip, maybe a little bit of a strong body on it, coming out of the reel that you can use to fight the fish with. But something really nice and lightweight. The rod that I switched over to that I use now is a Century rod. It's a custom rod that throws from 1/4 ounce to 2 ounce.
Woo!
The rod that I used for years. Well, now that's a 7.5 foot rod.
There you go.
The rod that I used for years was a Tsunami Airwave, 8 foot Airwave that threw, I think it said 5/8 to 3 ounce. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a heavier rod, a little bit more distance out of it. But I used the thing for 5 years. I love that rod. That Tsunami Airwave is a beautiful rod. TFO makes great rods.
Yep.
There's all different good brands out there. Go to your local bait shops and talk to them about what you're interested in doing. If you're fluke fishing, they'll steer you in the right direction and get you the right stick. But like I said, anywhere between 7 and 8 foot, lightweight,
okay,
fast action rod for sure, the best. Reels.
I was going to say reels kind of get critical. It's again, listeners, most reels will catch fluke. Then you're dealing with waves, you're dealing with current, and then you're dealing with possibly a big fish. Dave, I guess spending the few extra bucks, the quality of the drag to me is extremely, extremely important, correct?
Absolutely, because, you get a good quality reel that has a decent built drag into it. You know, you foul hook a skate or a ray or even a big shark, and that thing starts peeling off the drag. You don't want a cheap reel that's gonna fail. You know, you want something that has some good ears in it and good bearings that's not gonna burn out because you accidentally hooked on something big and heavy. You know,
Dave, the conservation aspect. I know you do a lot of catch and release. You do, listeners. He does occasionally take a fluke home to the lovely Mrs. Edelman, and they have a great dinner. But Dave, again, one or two fluke keepers, catch and release. The handling of the fish is vital if you're going to release it. Now, what kind of advice
Absolutely.
Can you give? What kind of advice you got?
Well, you have to be careful when you're handling a fluke. You know, always grab it from the top, above the head, and grab the center of the fish right behind the gill plate. That's where the main spine comes running up the center of the fish and makes its way to the head of the fish. Now, if you're going to grab the fish by the bottom, that's all the guts and all the organs and everything like that. You grab that fish, it's slippery, you give it a good squeeze so you don't drop it.
No.
You just crush something inside its body.
Yeah. Yep.
Always grab it from the top, the center, pinch where that center bone is, right behind the gill plate. That's gonna stop that fish from flopping. And be very careful when we're removing hooks. Always push down, push into the mouth to remove that barb, and then that hook will grab it by the throat of the hook or the curve. And let that hook turn around and pull it out so it don't get caught again on the way out, for sure.
And, Dave, the size of the hook, again, listeners, within reason, doesn't seem to matter. Fluke or aggressive, they have big maws. I swear their jaws can expend more than me when I have an anchovy pizza in front of me. So don't be shy on the bigger hooks because it will make removal, Dave, easier and will eliminate to a degree. You know, the fluke ingesting that hook going down
there. By me upping my hook size. You know, I generally keep around the 6-0 bait holder hook. I know guys who use nothing smaller than 8-0 bait holder hooks for fluke fishing, mm-hmm. and we're still catching shorts with them. But instead of that hook getting sucked down their throat and gut hooking them or throat hooking them, they're always up in the mouth. Even those 10 or 12 inch fluke, those mouths open up pretty wide. And like I said, I've caught short fluke with them larger hooks, and I'm not gut hooking them anymore.
Okay, Dave. Dave, we have about a minute left. Let's talk about, if we can, briefly, your surf fishing LBL with Bayside Dave, your Facebook, and your YouTube video deal. What do you got?
Yeah, the Facebook channel, that I started was basically to make an interactive group where different, all the guys and girls who fish off the beach here share reports, share ideas, share tips and tricks. You know, people ask questions about different things about rigs and targeting fish. It's basically just an interactive group where people just share ideas and help each other, become more successful fishermen.
Okay, what about YouTube?
The YouTube channel I started, it's basically instructional videos that I do. I'll show how to tie different rigs, different knots. I've even filmed myself filleting different types of fish. where I take my time and do some close-up shots of the different anatomies of the fish and how to fillet them properly and
nice.
Skin them. And, you know, just basically trying to help people out and show them the way I do things and see if the way I do things will help them do things better.
Beautiful. Dave, it's working out great. Listen, you want to, if you missed anything or want to hear it again, go to the podcast. It'll be posted immediately after the show ends today. Dave, you take care. Hope to see you on the beach at LBI, brother.
Thanks, Tom. Hope to see you too, pal.
See you later.
All right, bye.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
News, I'm Chris DeMeo. Federal student loan payments will remain suspended for the rest of the year, but that's it.
Education Secretary Miguel Cardona says as the economy recovers, this extension will give students and borrowers time to plan for a restart. The Education Department notes this extension expiring on January 31st is the final extension.
Fox's Jared Halpern, the extension put in place due to the pandemic. A New Jersey gym owner is the first to plead guilty to assaulting an officer during the Capitol riot in January.
Scott Fairlamb's deal with federal prosecutors could be a benchmark for dozens of other similar cases. Fairlamb's attorney says prosecutors will recommend a prison sentence ranging from 3.5 to 4.25 years.
That's Fox's Tom Rigotti. A California cop is in critical condition after being shot in front of a police station. America is listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Some sunshine will give way to clouds with a thunderstorm around this afternoon, and it will be a bit more humid. Today's high, 83. Cloudy with showers and a thunderstorm tonight, low 65. Clouds will give way to sunshine tomorrow. Tomorrow's high, 80. I'm AccuWeather's Jonathan Reed on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 7th and 8th. Yeah, that was Bayside Dave Edelman. There are plenty of flounder in the serve. Now, we have some upcoming tournaments, of course. The big news is the 52nd annual. Whoa, coming up. I guess the longest running like a big game tournament. The Beach Haven Marlin and Tuna Club tournament going to run August 11th to 14th. White Marlin, Blue Marlin, Tuna, Wahoo, and Mahi. Some big guns, some big money going on there. To get more information, go to whitemarlininvitational.com. whitemarlininvitational.com. Again, August 11th to 14th. I know they're still taking applications. Big day, big money payday in that dealio. I want to get down to earth for a fun day tournament that's coming up also on August 14th, 5 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is the Holiday Beach Club Fluke Tournament. Holiday Beach right there in Ware Town, up there in Ocean County. Joining us on the line right now is Captain Jeff Evans. He is the big kahuna on this deal. He is running this tournament. It's been around for a few years. It's a lot of fun. And this is so apropos for the previous two segments with Dave Edelman catching fluke from the beach. There is, again, the boat category, naturally, the kayak category, and the surf category. Whoa. Yes, you can possibly win this tournament with a flatty caught from the beach. Captain Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm excited about this tournament. It's small, it's local, it's fun. You're having some pretty good signups already from what I understand. And it's, you know, and you got some Calcuttas going there, some decent money going around. Jeff, how long has this tournament been around?
The first one started in 2008, so 13th year. Due to COVID last year, they didn't have one, but this would be the 13th year.
Wait, 2000, that was 13 years ago? Holy Christ,
yeah,
Evans. I'm hearing my spine creak on that one.
Yeah, well, we're not as young as we used to be.
Well, Jeff, we have, you know, you have the surf, you have the, you know, the boat and the surf, the boat and the kayak, but you also have three categories, so to speak, correct? You have women, you have youngsters and men, correct?
Yes. My goal was to make this a family friendly event. So we have men 13 years and older, women 13 years and over And then junior anglers 13 and under can all win prizes in first through third place. And we've got quite a few sponsors that are stepping up to try to make sure that the kids will all walk away with some sort of door prize.
That's great. Again, Jeff, the industry support in that regard, that's critical. And your two sons, listen, Captain Jeff's oldest son, William, had an article in a Fisherman. He was 11 years old when he wrote that, had that published? 12 years old?
Well, 10 years old was his first one that he got that award.
There you go.
He won that national award from American Sportfish Association.
And the thing is, even at that young age, he laid it out there, people, how to get kids involved in fishing. And how kids can also get kids involved in fishing. Well, Captain Jeff, let's get to the figures here. How much per boat to get in?
It'll be $125 per boat, $50 per single surf angler, or $50 per kayak angler. There's also Calcuttas.
Oh, yeah.
$25 Calcutta for the single heaviest fluke, and $25 Calcutta for the total weight of three flukes. So if you're a single angler and you catch your limit, those three flukes could get you a nice, tidy payday.
There you go. Now, the weigh-in location is where, Cap?
It's Creekside Outfitters on Route 9 in Weirton, New Jersey. Liza and the folks there are gracious enough to donate their scale for us to use. And we'll be weighing fish from 2 o'clock until 5:30 on Saturday. And then barbecue will be on Sunday afternoon.
That store is going to be slamming, man. Oh, I can see the vehicles pulling up in that parking lot. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, luckily, to help her out, I think we're going to have a volunteer or two there to help man the scale so that her people don't get slammed. Well, that she's been gracious enough to donate and be a big supporter and try to help us get some of the tackle distributors involved in getting some door prizes for these kids.
Okay, listeners, on the Rack and Fin radio line this morning is Captain Jeff Evans. Talk is the Holiday Beach Club Fluke Tournament. It's going to be Saturday, August 14th, 5 a.m. to 4 p.m., 125 per boat. Now, hey, Cap, what's the max anglers on there, 4, 5, or 6?
6 anglers per boat is the max.
Okay, that's right. You mentioned that $50 single for surf or kayak angler, prizes for first, second, and third. Three categories, men, women, and juniors, and there are 2 Calcuttas, you said, right?
Correct. There's a single largest fish Calcutta and a 3 fish per boat heaviest stringer Calcutta.
Okay, Cap, when's the captain's meeting? What's the dealio?
Captain's meeting is Friday night, August the 13th, starting at 6 p.m.
And it's where?
It's at the Holiday Beach Club Clubhouse on 26 Shore Drive in Weirton.
That's okay, right in Weirton. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, if someone takes Lighthouse Drive to the bay, the clubhouse is right on the right-hand side.
Listen, again, a mandatory captain's meeting Friday the 13th. Uh-oh. Friday the 13th, Evans. I don't know, man.
Yes, Friday the 13th.
At 6 p.m., a cash bar is available. Now, the awards barbecue, Sunday the 15th at 4 p.m., and that's going to also be at the facility?
Yeah, I believe we moved that up to start at 3 o'clock.
Oh, 3 o'clock. All right.
Yep, I believe we're going to start the awards barbecue at 3 o'clock at the clubhouse. There'll be burgers, dogs, normal type of barbecue fare. There's also the cash bar. You're welcome to bring any family members. With each entry, you're going to get 4 tickets to the barbecue.
Uh-huh.
And anybody extra would be a $10 fee for them to come in and enjoy the barbecue.
Okay, Evans.
We want the whole family to come out.
Evans, from my end, you've seen me. You're going to have enough food? Mm-hmm. You're going to have enough food, dude.
We are definitely going to have enough food.
Okay, Captain Jeff, how do people get involved with this event, brother?
All right, well, the way they can come is stop by the clubhouse at the captain's meeting, stop by the clubhouse any day of the week after 12 noon, or call me on my cell phone, 732-569-4819, and I will meet them. They can get their entries to me. They can enter at Creekside when you or myself are around, and we'll get them taken care of.
Hey, Jeff, question here. The fluke, now you and your boys have been out and you've done a couple of tournaments. This is my take on it from all the people I've spoken with and stuff on a 10 scale. Jeff, I'm telling you, 6 to maybe almost 7 are having an incredible year. Another 2 are doing very well. Tom, we're satisfied with this. It's only that 1, 1.5, on that 10 that are still having a problem with either no fish or mostly shorts. But you've been doing some knockdown dragouts, man.
Yeah, we've been out 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. we were out and we had 3 to 4 kids on the boat each day. Mm-hmm. And they came home with 4 or 5 keepers up to about 4 pounds.
Nice.
So, I mean, there's fluke there to be caught. There's still big fish coming out of the bay.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Yep. I'm seeing that all over the place. Listen,
you don't have to run up, run up the beach 10, 12 miles. You can fish right in the bay and put together a decent catch.
And also, Jeff, some nice fish are coming in from the surf itself. Listen, the Holiday Beach Club Fluke Tournament, August 14th, 5 a.m. to 4 p.m., $125 per boat, maximum 6 anglers, $50 single for surf or kayak angler prizes, first, second, and third, 3 categories, men, women, and juniors. Weigh-in location, Creekside Outfitters, 403 Route 9 in Waretown. Mandatory captains meeting Friday, 8:13 at 6 p.m. Oh, Jeff, one thing I want to ask you, what are the weigh-in times?
From 2 o'clock until 5:30 p.m.
2 until 5, now 5:30 p.m. sharp, right? No guys coming in at 5:31, correct?
If you're not in the parking lot at Creekside by 5:30, you will not weigh in.
Okay, Jeff, one more time with that phone number and email, please.
Okay, my phone number is 732-569-4819, and my email is captjeff.evans@gmail.com. They can call, they can text, they can email, and I'll get right back to them. Today I met a guy over in the parking lot at 9 o'clock this morning to get his entry.
There you go. Hey, Jeff, we'll see you guys next week. You take care.
All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Sounds like a fun tournament. You know, get the youngsters involved. Get the family involved. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
What's the difference between going to AtlantiCare's Comprehensive Stroke Center and going anywhere else? It's the difference between watching your grandkid ride a bike and teaching him how to ride. It's the difference between seeing your daughter get married and walking her down the aisle. It's the difference between losing what you love and living for it. When it comes to treating stroke, the difference between going anywhere else and going to AtlantiCare is everything. We're the only healthcare program with a neurocritical care team available 24/7. We have a diagnostic neuroimaging lab, and our neurosurgeons are always ready to operate if needed. And we meet the toughest standards to be a designated comprehensive stroke center. Why are we offering world-class stroke care right here?
Mrs. Thomas, your husband is in the right hands.
Because the difference is worth it. To see the difference, visit AtlanticCare.org/strokecare.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, man, I'm sort of fluked out. Fluke from the beach, flounder from the beach, whatever you want to call it. We have that great little tournament, the Holiday Beach Club Fluke Tournament, next Saturday. Hey, man, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing a very, can't say, see, that's the word. You say, when you say rumor, is it true? Is it not true? I don't know. I'm hearing something about South Jersey quail on the comeback trail. Yeah, bobwhite quail. Remember that? South Jersey used to be a destination for quail hunters from the mid-Atlantic region, even up from New England. Talking way back 50s, 60s. In fact, we enjoyed wild quail hunting. Had an article in the Jersey Outdoors back in the mid to late 90s. We were hunting actually on the southern Middlesex and northern Monmouth County border. Wild birds. And the population has crashed. It's now, right now, you can only hunt quail on the Greenwood Forest and Peasley Tracks. The birds are stocked by the Division of Fish, Game, and Wildlife. No quail hunting statewide. Habitat, whatever. Bad. Again, I'm telling you, two people. People don't realize the predation. Feral cats, you know, all the raptors now. The pendulum has swung so far the other way. Everything likes to eat quail. Quail is like pizza to humans. Everything eats it. And they've really hit on some hard times. About 10 years ago, an organization started the South Jersey Quail Project. And honors to Joe Matter, one of the founders who passed. Joe's a longtime acquaintance of mine, very opinionated, very driven. I remember the article they had a write-up on him about the Quail Project in Field and Stream, I believe. He said, quail disappear in South Jersey? Not on my watch. Now, if you saw Matter's expression when he said that, he meant it. It's been going on now for 10 years, and the South Jersey Quail Project is making inroads and establishing, it's going to be a long haul, people. I realize this. In establishing, reestablishing, I should say, the South Jersey quail population. Very special guest on the Rack and Fin line right now. Finally, he's able to track him down and get him on Rack and Fin is Mr. Terry Hyder. He is the president of the South Jersey Quail Project. And today, as a matter of fact, I guess at the Atlantic County 4-H Fairgrounds, Atlantic County 4-H Fair, they are exhibiting, and they're going to be hatching live quail. Check it out. It's going to be going on until the fair goes until 8 p.m. this evening. Terry Hyder, how you doing, brother? Thanks for getting us on Rack and Fin, man.
Hey, how are we doing out there? Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Everything you said, you know, Joe has passed the torch on to me, and I hope in his honor I can do him justice, you know. We are here at the Atlantic County Fairgrounds, and we've got actual live quail, bobwhite quail,
yep,
hatching in an incubator right here for all to see. So anybody wants to come out, bring the children out. I mean, that's what we're all about, you know, is the children. I mean, if we don't get this next generation, you know, hunting, fishing, seeing these quail out here, agriculture, this is a 4-H situation here,
right,
but everybody comes together and, you know, and pulls together and sees this happen. So it's a really, really big thing. And this is the first time we've been able to do this in a couple of years, you know,
right,
after all
sure
that we've been through, you know.
But Terry, my question is, as I mentioned, you know me, Terry, I yap. I'm a yapper. I'm Italian. I got a yap. But again, quail in New Jersey, I remember seeing plates when I was a kid, when I was squirrel hunting up there in North Jersey and Central Jersey and South Jersey, coming down through South Jersey especially, seeing plates from Massachusetts, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, here for the quail. Not so much the stock, the wild quail. Terry, in your opinion, an amalgam of things, what happened? It crashed. We used to have some great hunting to nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people will equate that. They say, well, were they overhunted? No. The hunters actually, you know, they took very few. But when we look at what's going on, you know, everybody will say loss of habitat. Well, I kind of wonder about that, because if you look around this beautiful South Jersey that we have, there's still habitat here. It may be a bit fragmented compared to what it once was,
right,
but I believe they come back. One of the biggest things, I think the usage of pesticides back in the day, now we've cleaned it up a lot.
Yep.
But you know, when you take the protein, the bugs that these guys got to eat, and, you know, you would spray, and we had a big gypsy moth problem down here years ago. I remember when I was a kid, you know. And when you spray for the bugs, you kill the bugs, well, the birds are going to have trouble thriving, too. I mean,
right,
that's one thing. As you said, you know, the avian predators are at an all-time high. So that could be another factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many things. Feral cats, naturally, that could be a problem, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of things up against them. But I still believe, and, you know, and like Joe said, we can do this. We can get these things back out there. You know what I mean?
Hyder, I'm locking you in right now. I just press you in the board in about, maybe sometime late September, October, you're coming back. I want to do an entire show about this, because quail is woven into the fabric of South Jersey, the hunting tradition. In a nutshell, Terry, we only have a few minutes before I have to close the program out. The process now, I know you understand, you've got habitat's critical, you're stocking birds, wild birds. What's the deal with that?
Well, actually, we can't technically. What we do, we work on the habitat.
Right.
And we need to petition, and we need to get back to getting the state to release more birds. That's
okay.
The trick. You know, they basically do the releasing, you know, and so forth. And they've had success with their programs. So, you know, we've got to, you know, petition them and say, hey, guys, we need to get these birds back out there. You know, and that's something for us all to think about, because it's a part of our ecosystem that we don't want to lose. I mean, you know, some people say, why are you guys pushing the quail so hard? Well, you know, if we lose these quail, then what's next? You know, and
sure,
soon we'll be up to our beloved white-tailed deer. You know, who knows?
Sorry, exactly.
We don't
want
to lose any of this stuff. It's great stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
The reason I mentioned the wild saga, I guess it was a couple of years ago. It was another I guess a private landowner or something, had the okay, and they brought some birds up from Georgia or somewhere. And I know.
So that's
doing okay, but it's a long haul. Reestablishing something that was once plentiful, thriving, and then brought to, not to sound dramatic, but basically to close to extinction. It's a long process. Correct. And I had a couple of guys say, Tom P, you know, you're not going to be able to hunt any wild quail anymore. So, you know, what's the interest in that? Because they were here and they were an integral part of the hunting and outdoor experience in New Jersey. I was so proud of the quails. When I was living up in Maine, for example, what do you guys down have there in Jersey besides small deer? I said, one, you're wrong on that. Two, we have some of the best bobwhite quail hunting in the Mid-Atlantic region. Quail?
Yes.
Who hunts quail? And I said, why don't you come down and try it? And Terry, I had some guys from Arista County come down, and after trying to shoot at wild birds, they said, boy, our partridge ain't so hard.
Yeah, they learned something quick, didn't they? I mean, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, and they're some of the greatest hunters that I've ever known. These guys are stand-up guys. They're actually right now they're working with us fighting to try to bring them back, you know. And you know, and not to hunt, just to bring them back,
bring them back
into our ecosystem. You know, for the love of the nature of the world, get them back. You know, it's important, Tom. It's what we got to do.
There is about the year 2000-2001. Great friend, shout out to Joe and Kathy Bauer down there, Seaville. They had a farm. You know, it's under it was sold, but it's under the farmland preservation. But the gentleman leasing the farm, the crawfish, had planted corn. And I remember back there one time, Joe at a pond, I'm catching bass and catfish coming up. And I heard it. It was in the spring. It was towards evening. Now, I never knew quail were around corn. You heard the, I can't do the whistle right. You know, the bobwhite call.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, my. And I said, what was that? He said, those were quail. I said, you got quail here? I'm thinking quail around cornfields. I found out they do eat corn. And he had a small little flock there, Terry, about probably 15 or 20 birds. The next year, corn was gone. No, they went to Timothy, you know, hay for the horses or whatever it was. And again, no food. They were gone, vanished.
Right.
Whatever happened
to
them.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because they suffer an 80% mortality rate over the course of the winter.
Yep.
You know, as you know. So let's face it, a mild winter, if you lose 80%, let's say something else happens. We lose a food source, plus that's a little bit of a harsh winter. We stand a chance of losing the entire population like that. I mean, whole coveys will disappear. So it is imperative that we get their numbers back to a sustainable level, you know, and across broad areas, not just one field here, one there, but across the entire southern portion of the state, you know.
You need it. Gloucester, Camden, Salem, Cumberland, Cape May.
Right.
Listen, join us online. It's Terry Hyder, president of the South Jersey Quail Project. Check it out. Get there today at the Atlantic County 4-H Fairgrounds, 3210 Route 50, South Egg Harbor City. Go to their exhibit, see baby quail, man, being hatched. How cool is that?
And learn about how
to get involved with this project. Terry, hats off to you, man. You have a long haul ahead of you, but you sound up for it, man. You and the crew.
Hey, that's it. We're ready. We're ready. Hey, Tom, thank you so much. I appreciate everything that you do, and I appreciate, you know, your efforts here helping us.
You're one of the ones.
So, thank you so much.
Give that website or Facebook phone number. Go.
All right. Yes. We are sjqp.org, www.sjqp.org. Check us out.
Okay, Terry, take care. God spares. I'll see you this afternoon sometime. Watch me funnel cakes, man. You'll cringe.
Oh, man. All right, Tom. Thank you so much.
You take care, brother.
From all of us at SJQP, we can't say enough. Thanks.
More than welcome. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, check that out, man. It's a great organization. That's it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Get out there and enjoy. See you next week. Hey, man, just remember, on the water, get in the woods. This is the time. Seasons are changing. Fishing to be had. Start to scout for deer. September 1st, got the mud hens, rail birds opening up. Goose season, September goose season opening up. Time is passing so quickly. Get out and enjoy, because before you know it, we shall say, God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5.